Why did I feel like I had to be perfect? I was so afraid of being sent back. I really equated perfection with safety, and I saw that imperfect people get sent back. So I had all of these beliefs built around what was a fragile little girl who was broken.
This is Michelle, talking as someone who was in foster care and later adopted internationally.
I spent a lot of time and many years of my life asking why. Why was I abandoned by my parents? Why was I placed into foster care? Why was I labeled difficult to place, seen as lesser than while I was in foster care? Even after I was adopted, why did I feel like I didn't have a voice?
This, including how she found stability in her life and why she gave it all away, coming up on Career Day. I'm Carissa Weiser. Welcome to Career Day. This is a podcast where I talk with strangers all around the world about life, identity, their sense of belonging, and of course, jobs. A lot of times, these are all intertwined. Today, I'm sharing Michelle. She spent over a decade as a broadcast journalist, but stepped away from a career many people dream about to be a life fulfillment coach, author, speaker, and an advocate for women and children.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle Madrid Branch, and I am an author, an international adoptee, and an advocate for women and children in the margin.
Perfect. I'd like to start with the part about children in the margins. What kind of group is that?
By children in the margins, I mean those who are unseen and unheard in our society. The population that I work with are foster children and adoptees. I'm a former foster. I was a foster kid in the United Kingdom, and I was adopted by Americans and brought to this country. And so I have a huge heart for kids who oftentimes are pushed aside, are labeled as somehow not holding equal potential as other kids who maybe are more fortunate to be growing up in an intact family where they're being loved and nurtured and inspired daily. Be they fosters, be they orphans, be they children who are refugees running from some war somewhere. So when I say children in the margins, I'm talking that population, and the numbers are far too high, of young people in our world who are left unseen and unheard by circumstances that are happening around them, but that do not define them. But somehow in our society, we tag them as less worthy than others.
And that number is way too high. In the U.S., the Adoption and Foster Care Analysis and Reporting System, known as AFGARS, estimates the number of children in foster care to be around 430,000, with more children entering the system than are leaving. Being in foster care doesn't mean that you're unloved or unlovable. Just like being born into a family is no guarantee of a caring environment. In a future episode, we'll see that through the eyes of a child abuse investigator. But today, it's all about happiness, about joy. That's the story of Michelle.
Did you have a period of your life where you were hesitant about sharing in such a raw way about your story or opening up those emotions around that?
Such a good question. And the answer is absolutely yes. I was so afraid of being judged and in some ways of being found out.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all have that. Like, what if people really knew this situation that happened, this event in my life? What if they turned me away? What if they weren't my friend anymore? What if I lost my job? What if, you know, all the what ifs, we're so afraid to be real. We're so afraid to be raw. We're so afraid to see the things that have happened to us as part of who we are. We want to, you know, sweep it under the rug. And certainly I did for a long time. Even when I was in television news, I didn't tell people for a long time that I was adopted. You know,
so back in the day, Michelle used to be a successful TV news journalist. And we'll get to why that's in past tense later. But for now, as someone who was also in foster care and later adopted, I found it incredibly meaningful to hear her voice a lot of the same thoughts that I've had myself.
Foster care, well, gosh, they might think that I'm one of those kids, or there's so many judgments out there about people like me who came into this life in a way where it was a little rough in the beginning. And all of the beliefs that I had about, I just have to make it right. I just have to make it all perfect. And if things are perfect, if I'm the best at what I do, if I'm the best newswoman, if I make the best grades in school, if I have the cleanest house and the cleanest car, and I, you know, all of these things, then I will be safe. I can control everything that's happening in my life, relationships and career paths and everything. I just have to control it all. Well, you know what? That's exhausting. And when we're able to stand in front of others in a way that is just so authentic and say, hey, you know what? I've been broken. I have felt isolated. I have felt so unworthy. I have felt all of these things, and I know how you're feeling. But I'm saying there's a way to get out of the struggle, to stand up out of the struggle and move forward to what is your destiny.
Do you remember the first time you talked with someone who wasn't a family member about being adopted?
You know, yes.
What was that like for you?
I was in college, and I had a professor named Diana Warby, and I was studying African-American women writers. And it was the first time I had ever read Maya Angelou. And it was I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. That was the book. And I also read Alice Walker and works of these brilliant women. It was the stories of their isolation because of the color of their skin, because of the texture of their hair, because of the judgments that were made by an unforgiving society and an unforgiving culture. It was the feeling of being without voice and of being invisible. And it sparked something very real in me. And I said to my professor, I'm having feelings coming up because of what I'm reading, that I feel like I'm not alone anymore. I was seen as an ethnic child in England because my father was Spanish and I was darker. And reading these women's voices, honestly, it saved me.
And in many ways, that's the beginning of Michelle's transformation. It wasn't a direct 180, but according to her, the journey is absolutely worth it.
Something that I've learned is that I don't really see my life anymore as sort of dissected into categories and roles. I used to like write down all my roles, and I would try to figure out how do I effectively manage all of these roles. And I started feeling like I was a little cuckoo. I feel like some anxiety here because I'm a mom and I'm a wife and I'm an author and I'm an advocate and I'm, you know, I still got to take care of me. And I felt very sort of dissected, and it didn't feel whole to me.
Yeah.
What I've come to realize is that, number one, I have to practice self-care, and I have to love myself in a way where I fill myself up to overflowing. And then everything in my life becomes an expression of that overflow. It's an expression of who I am, the life experience I've lived. And so I think for me, this is a healthier way to view the work that I do. I really have shifted from roles or categories to expressions. It may not work for everyone, but for me, that works.
I mentioned earlier that Michelle used to be in news, and part of the reason why she left that stability and upward growth was a new understanding of herself and who she wanted to be.
We sometimes get caught up in doing an occupation, a job, a career, maybe that we've been told we should do. And you know what? You can be good at what you do. You can be great at it. Like, I was a really great newswoman, but it wasn't my purpose. I'm not saying you quit your job today, but you can start figuring it out. I didn't quit my news career in a day. I did news for about 12 years, and there was a voice that I silenced. Because, you know, news was a great gig for me. But when I started reading things, when I was on air and I would read things about adoption that I didn't agree with, and I began to say, what am I doing here? How can I take what I'm doing now and bring truth? That's what I wanted to figure out. And it took me some time. I think I'm doing it now. I hope I'm doing it now. At least that is my intention when I wake up every single day.
It's obviously working out really well for you now. But when you were transitioning out of news, what did that feel like?
Oh, it was scary. I had all of my identity and all of my ego wrapped up in television news. I just realized, wow, everything that I am has been wrapped up in what I do on air, that personality, that persona.
but it wasn't the person. So the first morning that I woke up and I wasn't going on air was a scary time. Well, who am I now then? What am I here to do?
What about self-doubt?
A lot of people in news said, you're ruining your life. What are you doing, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely had that self-doubt of maybe they were right. Were they right? And news, again, was not who I was. It was part of my life experience. And that persona created was nice, but it wasn't the person. And I wanted to get to the person.
So who is Michelle? Not the news persona, but the person. What expressions of herself help her now that she's found her purpose? She says she starts every day by practicing gratitude.
I believe gratitude is the best medicine. You know, I have three amazing kids. I have a 14-year-old son, I have a 12-year-old son, and I have a 7-year-old daughter. Two of my three children are adopted internationally as well. My 12-year-old son is adopted from Russia, and my 7-year-old daughter is adopted from Ethiopia.
So it's off to school for the kids, and then it's time to get to work.
For instance, this morning, I had a coaching call with a wonderful woman in Canada who is looking at her present life, the future she would long to have, and what's keeping her from getting there. So I coached. I'm talking to you now, which I'm very grateful for. Normally, the morning hours are focused on writing. I have a great publicist, Heather Lee, and we connect and go over the focus for the day.
There's also interviews like this one. Guest blogs and other due dates.
I'm working on my fourth book right now. There's social media questions, comments, inquiries that come in. And I will practice some self-care around the lunchtime hour. I will work out. I will stretch. I will ride my horse. I will go for a hike. I will do something where I can get away and expand my spirit and my mind and be with me and nature and God, you know, and just be inspired in that way. And then I come back and I wrap up lingering questions. And then I'm back to living out my expression of being a mom later in the afternoon and the evening.
It's interesting to catch a glimpse at Michelle's day as someone who left an on-air job to work from home. But more importantly, I can hear her making decisions as the real Michelle, not as someone trying to fit the mold of several different roles. I think it's the realization that roles may come and go, but at the end of the day, Michelle always has to live with Michelle. So it's just easier to stay true to yourself in the first place.
I don't want to live in the mind. The mind is the place where we look for what is unfair and unjust, and I don't want to live there. I work to live from a place of essence each and every day.
And what do you mean by essence?
I mean my place of authentic truth, my place of spirit.
So when you were coming out of news and listening to the essence saying you have a different purpose, mm-hmm. even though you were great at your current job, how did you distinguish between this idea of what is from the mind versus a different place?
Well, the mind at the time was telling me all the reasons I should stay in. It was all about financial security. It was all about the security of ego or identity, of being seen as worthy by others. And so essence was urging me onward. Now, I'm not going to tell you at that time I knew it was essence. I would have just said gut instinct. Maybe I would have called it that. Well, my gut instinct tells me I should move forward.
And move forward she did. It's been a long road, and she's still learning about herself daily. But she's happy now, living out the purpose of Michelle the person, not the persona. One thing is clear. Part of her journey is getting out of her head, being okay with herself, and making decisions that are true to who she is. You'd hardly be able to tell that she was once this girl in foster care, struggling with feelings of rejection, except she's so refreshingly open about her life, sharing that finding her fit had to start with learning to love herself. Special thanks to Michelle Madrid Branch for sharing her story with the world. For more info on anyone on the podcast or to be considered for the show, head on over to careerdayshow.com. I'd also love to hear from you on Twitter at Carissa Weiser or on Facebook at Career Day Show. And if you like the podcast, the best thing you can do is leave a good review on iTunes. Simply go to itunes.careerdayshow.com, also linked in the show notes, or on the iOS podcast app. This is a great way to help other people find the show. So thanks also to everyone who's left a review so far, including R. Tomlinson, Emmanuel Collum, Drew M. Meyer, DJ Lawnboy, Rocky Mountains, UF Irishman, Cat Lewis, EdMax49, Crash7800, and Darkness Consumes Me at iCloud. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time on Career Day.